This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
One more hour to go here on VSiN Prime Time. I am Doug Kazarian alongside Matt Eumanns, and we are downtown Las Vegas live at the Circa Resort and Casino Sportsbook. Pretty busy, all things considered. A lot of fantasy footballers here in the hotel and outside at Circa Swim this weekend and next. Next weekend's officially contest weekend. I know there's a lot of fantasy footballers drafting this weekend. It's that time of year with the NFL regular season right around the corner as we approach Labor Day.
How about fantasy football drafts? Doug, do you get involved in those, and how many?
So if I ever do it, it's one. And I took a couple years off, got to be honest. But I got back, and just because I do like the camaraderie slash trash talking with friends, I don't do like random high price leagues like, you know, Circus Survivor. Like when I don't, like I do it in a league that's competitive with people I know. But it all it does help me stay plugged in. So I'll do one league. I mean, to be honest, I did fantasy baseball when I was like in third and fourth and fifth grade. So in the 80s. I was always a fantasy sports guy, but not like my bread and butter, like the betting.
All right, we got a big game about to kick off in Denver.
Yeah, we do. So we've talked about two preseason games going on. We got a bunch of baseball games in action. We'll continue to monitor those, but we are targeting one game that is yet to kick off.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
Obviously, news throughout the week dictates line moves in NFL preseason, and Bo Nix getting the starting nod. The starters are going to play in Denver as they host the Packers. This line touched 7.5, then went to 6, and it's now settling at 6.5 or 6, depending on your book. And you had Chuck Edel, professional bettor, in the studio, or sorry, on the horn last night on primetime, and he thought it was too many points, and I agree. Yes, the starters are going to play, but they're not playing the whole game, and sometimes these starters punt. They don't just automatically march down the field and score a touchdown.
Exactly.
So I think 6.5 or 6 is still too high of a number. There's no way I'd lay it.
Oh, last night we talked about Justin Herbert and the Chargers starters were going to play, and they were out there for three plays. And it was a three and out and a quick punt, and had no impact on the game whatsoever. Now tonight, Bo Nix is going to make his preseason debut for the Broncos, but again, Sean Payton said he's going to take 14 or 15 snaps, so it's not going to be a lot of action for Bo Nix. Jared Stidham, the backup. But you will see Bo Nix for a little while out there tonight. And I think the Packers probably want to put some emphasis on this game because they played so poorly a week ago in Pittsburgh.
Well, and even if it's 7-0, let's say you get a touchdown drive out of the Broncos, and you know that he's not going to play the whole first half and stuff. What's the live line?
That's a good question.
Yeah, it's like, what, it's going to be 7.5? Just because it's not, you know, they get the opening kickoff. So you know that the Packers are going to get the second half kickoff. You know that Nix is going to remove himself from the game, right? So it's just kind of bizarre that it's such a large number where you rarely see this high of a point spread in the preseason unless they're playing the entire first half, which maybe 15 snaps is, depending on how quickly they score.
Yeah, one thing about it, too, is the Broncos took money last week against the Falcons. That was actually a two-way action game. It went back and forth there. But the Broncos were taking sharp money for a while, and they blasted the Falcons. How inept did Tua and the Falcons look in that game last week?
I mean, it's Tua. What do you expect?
Right, I know. And that's it's a little bit different situation this week. I think you'll see the Packers. I do think you'll see the Packers put forth a better effort than they did a week ago at Pittsburgh. And it's
But typically, Sean Payton has been a bet-on coach.
He has
been. In the preseason.
I just think this number did get inflated, and Chuck Edel made that case on our show last night. The Iceman, one of the best preseason bettors out there, and it's been that way for many years. Chuck's loved to bet the preseason. He says he loves to bet preseason more than the regular season. And that doesn't mean you're going to make a lot of money at it every year.
Right, there's only 3 weeks.
Right, but Chuck has been, he's always had a good read on the preseason. Part of that is getting a good number. That's always a key part of that as a sports bettor. And Chuck, it seems like when I talk to him, he's always got the best number on a game. You know, he's camped out in front of the screen.
Yeah, this is what he does professionally. Right. And well, the reason he's got the good numbers, he's the one moving the market. So he's going to be the first one to move the market. So for the most part.
In this case, when it went to 7, he grabbed Packers plus 7 right away. So we got the plays up here on the VSIM Pro page. JVT took Packers plus 6.5. Chuck's got the best number out there. Green Bay plus 7. And Nick Whalen played this under 41.5. So that's what we got. That's our primetime game of the night. And it's close to kickoff in Denver.
Yeah, and with Sean Payton being a good guy who, you know, seems to cover in the preseason, Panthers are typically a bet against, and here they are leading at halftime, right, 17-6. So, you know, these trends can be misleading, and they're not always predictors. They're a good window into trends because they, you know, it's suggestive, but it's not 100% predictive.
Well, no, nothing's ever 100% predictive, but you're right about that. In the preseason, sometimes some trends mean a lot, some trends mean nothing, and obviously a lot of trends were blown up last week in the preseason.
Right, and something I always say is, remember, these sports books have these sheets down by the sportsbook counter with a lot of trends and stats on them. Well, if they were predictive, they wouldn't give them to you, right?
No, but
they
give them to you. The thing about the NFL preseason, too, when you hear certain people say you got to be an idiot to bet it, nobody knows. Like, the betting limits are low for a reason. A lot of these books, including Circa, are taking $1,000 on a total and $2,000 on a side or something in that range. If the bettors were losing, the limits wouldn't be so low.
Right.
And there were a lot of bettors out there who were getting the best of the number. And by the way, I would say mocked on Twitter by some fool last week because I said I had the Browns minus one. And then on Friday night, Will Hill and I were talking about it. I said, I got a bad feeling about the Browns. Everybody's on the Browns this week. And now that number's up to 3.5. I think I'm going to take some back on the Bears plus 3.5, which I did. Will did. You know, and that's the option you have if you don't feel as good about your bet on Friday or Saturday as you did on Monday when you made it. Well, if you got the best number and laid one and took back 3.5 on the other side, you do have a little middle shot, or you can just get
you
off
the
game.
You could retire if you had that every day.
Yeah. You're not going to get that too often in the NFL, but you do get that in the preseason quite a bit.
I don't think I've seen a more accurate term in terms of a nickname. Keyboard warriors. These keyboard warriors on Twitter and social media, they have so much to say after the fact, and they really don't know what they're talking about, right?
That's true.
You know, someone like you and I, where we also kind of reflect on companies and organizations because we've worked in them, we have to have the measured written word. We can't just tell people what we stream of content. But these other people, especially the ones that have fake accounts or aliases, they're total jackasses.
I thought you were going to say something
like and, that. Like, they can just make up stuff, really, and they can just run their mouth. But that's what's kind of annoys me the most in the social media age is there's no filter. We've had copy desks, we've had news editors and things like that prevent certain statements because we work from organizations that have credibility. You can't do that, and some people think treat the written word the same if it's someone who works at a company versus just, you know, average Joe.
Well, it's I said I was getting mocked, but it's by a guy who doesn't understand betting.
Right.
He's like, you're giving out both sides of the game. No, if you lay one with the Browns and you take 3.5 with the Bears, that's actually a pretty good bet.
The analogy I make is think about the roulette wheel. There's 18 red, 18 black, and 2 green.
Yeah,
you're basically getting all black, both greens, and like 2 reds, and you're getting 50-50, right? So you're just getting more.
Yeah.
The math is in your favor. It's like the MIT blackjack team. The math is in your favor when you're counting cards. It doesn't mean you know the next card. You just know the probability is like 56% or whatever it is versus 44. I mean, that's all it is. And you should, you know, within reason, bet a lot if you know you're getting that much edge.
Right.
That's all it is.
That's
just
true.
A slight edge. Doesn't mean it's the next day's newspaper, as I say, or the box score. You know, the final box score. So the Yankees threatened in the fifth, did not get anything home. And then Schlittler back out for the sixth. And this is something I've noticed.
He had a pretty good sixth inning, which was surprising.
And I've heard this. I love live betting baseball when you listen to the analysis, because the analyst on the games is usually a former pitcher or catcher, and they know so much. When a pitcher knows he's out there for the last inning, he empties the gas tank. And so they're kind of like pitching 98, 99. And their last inning, you think fatigue? No. They'll go to 100 knowing they don't need to pitch beyond that inning. So that's something to keep in mind if you're live betting unders and things like that. A last inning for a pitcher, if he's a really good one like Schlittler, it's almost like he's more likely to go in order in the sixth than he was in the fifth if he was shaky in the fifth.
I think it's a really good point you make there, too, because he knew that was going to be his last inning. He went out there, and he was aggressive. He laid it all out there, and that was the best inning he had tonight. It was.
Right, and I've been live betting for, what, 2 decades?
Yeah.
And I never really kind of put all that together. Because it takes, I mean, the best pitchers do that, right? Not the, you know, the mediocre ones, because they're trying their hardest. Or spot reliever is only going to give you one inning anyway.
Right.
That's a very intricate thing. So these live totals, especially like one that was 7, which is a key number in baseball live betting, and it moves to 6.5 or something after that half inning. So that's something to keep in mind when you're watching stuff. And just in all live betting for baseball, just listen to the analysts. Again, former catcher, former pitcher. They know what they're talking about. They see things that the average man would not. Red Sox still 5-4 over the Giants. So give San Francisco credit. They were down 5-1, have fought back. We're bottom six. We're still 3-1 at Yankee Stadium. Also bottom six. Leadoff batter Grisham is at the dish with a full count. Over in football, we have a turnover on the first possession for the Packers around midfield. So Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos, good field position as they take over first minute into the game.
Yeah, so if you said, if someone told you, hey, Jordan Love and the starters are going to be out there for the Packers, you're thinking, all right, great. Well, Love threw a completion over the middle, and receiver, I believe that was Watson, got stripped. Good play by the DB, and the Broncos recovered the fumble. So I would assume Love's going to come out for another series or two, but
ooh,
oh, wait a minute.
Incomplete.
What?
Didn't have possession.
I don't know about that.
So it was a bang-bang play.
It looked like he had possession.
But this is the kind of stuff is why you play your starters for a series or two. They got to take live hits. Week one, they can't ease into it.
Right.
Right?
I thought he had possession of that ball. That's a bizarre call.
Oh, anyway. His knee was down.
Huh?
His knee was down?
Is that what the call was? I don't know. We don't have sound
down,
on the game.
So it's not second down after the incompletion.
It was called a catch.
Catch, apparently, knee down, and then a strip. NFL refs are in mid-season form, apparently.
I still, the most dubious thing I've seen all week is the foul call on the Polar Bear Pete home run in Baltimore. I can't figure out how in the hell was that ruled a foul ball.
Nine camera angles later. Foul ball. Call stands. He is Matt Humans. I'm Doug Kazarian. We're rolling on here live from downtown Las Vegas on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Great time of night. All these games heating up. We got 3 football games going on, 10 baseball games, including a few that haven't even started yet. So a lot of action with live wagering. We're tracking it all alongside Matt Humans. I am Doug Kazarian. We're live in downtown Las Vegas. Opening drive of our game of the night in Denver. Packers is 6.5-point underdogs in the red zone now with Jordan Love and company trying to get points on the board. So they're big dogs. And yes, Bo Nix in offense is waiting for their turn and maybe playing a lot of the first half. But still, Packers that were, 6.5 you could have gotten for a reasonable. I mean, the line reached 7.5, but really 6.5. And here they are. 3rd and 2 on the 12-yard line.
Yeah, the Packers got a bit of a lucky break there. That was ruled knee down on the Christian Watson catch before the fumble, so they got the first down, and the drive is still alive. 3rd and 2 with Jordan Love in the shotgun, and the Packers are going to hand it off, run the left side, and get stopped. I think he might have got the first down. It's going to be right at the marker here. So 10:47 to go. Good start for the Packers, especially since that turnover got overturned. And that's what you want. You know, if you're taking points with a dog like this, you want to see a quarterback like Jordan Love stay out there for a while. Not last night with Justin Herbert's in for 3 plays. What was that?
Yeah.
What's the point?
A lot of these coaches don't really know what they're doing. Yes, they're transparent, but it's not like if something happens differently than what they said was going to happen,
right. They
didn't lie. They changed their mind. That's a big difference, right?
Well, if Harbaugh says Herbert and the starters are going to play one series, you don't count on that series being a 3-out.
Sure.
But if it is a 3-out, why don't you pivot and say, all right, now you're going to play 2 series?
Because some of these guys are meatheads and don't want to do things.
Yeah.
You know, and look, like I said, they're not lying. They're just changing their mind. Liam Cohen changed his mind all week.
Right.
And some guys change their mind an hour before kickoff or maybe during the first quarter. That is something to keep in mind. We're keeping an eye on things in the Bronx. Blue Jays and Yankees, 3-1 lead for New York. I believe they've gone under, New York being the Bay, 13 of their last 15 games. They have not scored in the first inning 20 straight games, so Nurfies have been cashing for the Yanks. And this is another low-scoring game, but the Yanks have the lead. They've gone to the bullpen after Schlitler gave him 6 solid innings statistically, only allowing 1 earned. So 3-1 lead, top 7 in the Bronx. Much more scoring in Fenway with the Red Sox, but they also have a 2-run lead. 6-4 Boston over San Francisco. That's in the bottom of the 6th. Runners on the corners, 2 outs, and a 1-2 count for the newly acquired Ali Rutschman, I think, is up. He's the he's batting in the middle line. He batted ninth, I want to say, last night. So tough to see. I have to squint in some of these games. Cardinals and Phillies, we've talked about that game. That was like the 6:40 start. So that game started before we came on, Matt. That's been back and forth. That's 5-5 right now in the late innings.
Yankees have this set up for Brett Hedrick is in now. It's going to be Paul Blackburn, I think, in the eighth, and then David Bednar in the ninth. And those three relievers have been outstanding for the Yankees over the last couple of months. So hopefully they can protect the lead for Cam Schwitler. Hedrick got a strikeout there to start the seventh. Yankees now up to minus 1240. Doug, that one out, the Yankees went from minus 1050 to minus 1240.
Okay.
By getting the leadoff out in the top of the seventh.
That leadoff out, yeah, for sure. Can I interest you in an under 5.5? 3-1.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to bet it over.
Right. In theory, we're not going to have the bottom of the ninth, right? Because the Yankees have the lead at home. And you mentioned the guys that have been lights out. It's not like this Blue Jays lineup is murderer's row.
Now
Joe,
minus
1,500. Joe Carter's not walking through that door for Toronto. Yeah, and now there's two outs.
Well, the under 5.5 is now minus 144, and the live line just went up to minus 1,500.
Well, a lot depends in these situations because this is the most important for live betting on baseball. When the Yankees go to bat, it's not exactly the Blue Jays A-listers in the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
It's the guys who come out when they're trailing. So it's not the guys who get the hold or the save, and this is a bullpen game. So you just wonder the quality of pitcher. And yes, the Yankees lineup is a little shaky, but they can hit bad pitching, so and you have one run to give, but it is a narrow landing strip if you take the under 5.5 heavily juiced when it's 3-1. So just something to keep in mind. Just remember, the Blue Jays. So sometimes some books will put up a flat 2. This is where I like to load up on minus 2, minus 130. You're going to get one less at bat, and maybe in the ninth, the Blue Jays get the catcher's indifference. There's two outs, they let them steal second, and you get a fluke run. But other than that, you're getting the Yankees' best relievers to shut down the game,
right?
And you get the Yankees bats. Like, you're not free rolling because obviously the Blue Jays can score, but it's one of those where it's usually advantageous to lay the two if it's reasonable juice, like $1.30.
Well, yeah, like you said, the Yankees are going to put their best arms out there to close out this game, and the Blue Jays are not because they're down two runs. So that's a very good point. You know, when you're at home at night watching games, I guess you're not always napping and playing with your dog. It sounds like you're doing a lot of live betting.
Well, Arthur points this out too. So he's the one who can sniff out, literally and figuratively, sniff out some good wagers. He's a dog player, but he likes to lay the flat number. The key is not the hook. The hook can get you sometimes in these. Example was the Yankees last game. They're up 3-1, and they got two homers because they faced the Orioles, thinner quality relievers, and they got a couple homers in the seventh or eighth. And then they end up winning, I don't know, it's one of the 5-2 or something like that. But, yeah, these are ways you can sort of create value in the late innings.
By the way, the Steelers side not showing a lot of value here in this game.
You sniffed out the live under on that game, I'll tell you that.
I didn't bet it, though. Unfortunately, and that's a mistake. I was actually
playing. Oh, he got it.
He dropped it.
Oh, he had it in the heel. I thought he was going to prevent it from rolling on the ground.
Spencer Jones with a dive in right center, and he did not come up with the ball. And Blue Jays are going to have a triple with two outs here in the seventh inning, and that's going to change the live line in that game. Jones not a great defensive right fielder. He's made a few blunders out there. He had the ball in his glove there. That's just, guy, you got to make
see, it hasn't
catch.
Hit the ground yet, and then it hits the ground. It was rolling around his torso as he was sliding. So he could have almost trapped it, almost like one of those NFL receivers in the end zone where the ball didn't hit the ground, but obviously the football a lot larger than the baseball, the trap against your chest.
He can't drop that ball. He had that in his glove. He cannot drop it. Anyway, the Yankees went
landed
from,
in the heel.
Oh, there it
the
is.
Mitt. It didn't
heel.
Land in the web.
On a different replay, different angle. Yankees went from minus 1,500 to minus 930 with that triple. Blue Jays right back in it. By the way, we got a field goal attempt in Pittsburgh. Jets go up 10-0 over the Steelers with 7 minutes to go. Boy, the Pittsburgh quarterbacks have not played well at all tonight. And it's not like the Jets are setting the world on fire, but they got a 10-point lead late in the fourth.
You notice that we've seen some missed extra points here in preseason?
Yeah, well, like I said, you got a lot of kickers out there who are not going to make the team.
Cameron Dicker missed one back-to-back
Cameron Dicker
weeks.
Missed two PATs.
Yeah, back-to-back weeks. What's going
I don't know
on?
What's up with that. I think his first 2 years in the league, Cameron Dicker was like something like 79 for 80 points. He's missed back-to-back weeks. He's missed one, yeah.
So the Red Sox have slowed down their scoring, thankfully, if you laid the run line for the game with the Giants have slowed down. So it's 6-4, top 7, one out. at Fenway with the Red Sox leading 6-4. Some other games that aren't in front of us, so we haven't talked about a lot. Still, a pitcher's duel in Miami. Nats and Marlins, 1-0. Washington leads on the road. Marlins, just one hit so far in that game. Sean Manaea pitching great for the Mets. They lead 4-0 on the south side of Chicago over the White Sox in the sixth. Just two hits for the division-leading White Sox, as Manaea has been a much better pitcher since coming over to New York. And that under, I'm going to kick myself for not betting in Kansas City. Royals lead 1-0 in the fifth over Detroit. Noah Cameron and Melton on the starters in that one. And this was such an under. Seven with bad pitchers on the mound. A seven was the total in Texas with the Rangers hosting the Angels. They are scoreless through four. I don't care what the Angels offense did last night. They had scored six runs in the previous four games. This team cannot hit.
No, they can't hit, but Rafael Devers can. He's at the plate right now for the Giants, and he's a guy who's capable of turning the game around. By the way, Cameron Dicker, since he's been in the NFL, how about this? Four full seasons, 126 of 130 on PATs.
But he's missed one back-to-back weeks.
On field goals, he's 129 of 138. That's 93.5%. He's been one of the best kickers in the league. Like you mentioned, he did miss a PAT each of the last 2 weeks here. Big moment in this Blue Jays-Yankees game with a runner on third, and we'll see if Hedrick can get out of it.
Foul ball back.
I was looking at Rafael Devers. What Devers do?
Looks like he flied out something. Two outs. So Springer not afraid to chase the ball out of the zone, is he?
No, he's not. And Springer's, I believe, batting about.
There he goes, chasing a third strike outside the zone. End of the half inning.
Hedrick gets out of it. These are the Yankees' three best relievers. Hedrick, Blackburn, and Bednar. And those three are going to try to close out the Blue Jays. Get a win for Cam Switler tonight. But the Steelers returning the kick, down 10-0. Drew Aller, the rookie out of Penn State, I assume is going to be the quarterback here for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, obviously he looked good.
He looked good last week.
Last week, right. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, some of this stuff can be very misleading, as we've discussed in the past.
We're going to hear from Geno Smith about his return to the Jets. His season in Las Vegas was a lost cause a year ago. Doug, is it as easy as it looks to bet the Jets under the win total?
No.
Okay.
They get to play the Dolphins twice.
Well, we're going to talk about that.
I know. And they have coach in waiting. Going to take over around October in my eyes. He is Matt Eubanks. I am Doug Kazarian. This is VSiN Primetime. We'll talk about the Jets and some other win totals of the upcoming NFL season straight ahead.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Week zero of college football is right around the corner with the NFL regular season right behind it. Now's the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro today. Get instant access to both our college football and NFL betting guides, and you get a lot more than that. Start today for just $9.99 or save 50% with the VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up now, vsin.com/subscribe. We go out to the Progressive guest line for the third and final time tonight. And as he said, we saved the best guest for last. Sam Cooney, golf odds maker here at Circus Sports. And Sammy, great to have you on tonight. It's not a major, but it is the PGA playoffs. And Scottie Scheffler and all the big names are in action. What was the action like on this BMW tournament in St. Louis this week?
You know, for a non-major, the action turned out to be pretty tremendous. The matchups and props, not as great, but the outright handle was fantastic this week.
Where was the money on the board? Scottie Scheffler was 5-1 a week ago. We talked with Jeff Sherman about that. He said there was a lot of action on Scheffler, and he won last week. Obviously, the odds on Scottie dropped. So how was the futures board bet this week?
We also took some more bets on Scotty this week. There were some people that thought he's got a pretty good chance of going back to back. We're these last few weeks he's been playing, we've been in the red on him pretty often, been taking some pretty big bets on him. And we also lose a small amount to Wyndham Clark and Russell Henley, but we win to pretty much everybody in between there. So out of the top nine guys, We're pretty much just looking to dodge Wyndham Clark and hoping Russell Henley doesn't get hot.
Wyndham Clark, 12 under, has got the lead right now through two rounds at the BMW Championship in St. Louis. Gary Woodland, one back at 11 under. J.J. Spahn, 10 under. And then you got Sungjae Im, Chris Gotterup, Patrick Cantlay, Colin Morikawa, Russell Henley, Maverick McNealy, Rory McIlroy, a bunch of A-list players near the top of the odds board there. What did Wyndham Clark go off pre-tournament?
Let me see.
How much, by the way, did you take much play on Rory McIlroy this week because he was so bad the previous week in Memphis?
Not at all. We took one bet at the end that I like kind of forced just because nobody else was betting him. But yeah, I really had to like force the issue on him. Looks like we closed 36-1 on Wyndham Clark.
Okay. Sam, it's the first time you and I have chatted. I've always enjoyed your segments with Matt and Tim during the week. This tournament, different than the others. A, it's not a major, but just with the shorter field, no cut, obviously the different stakes with the end of the season with the playoff. What's something to keep in mind as you handicap and bet this series or this tournament, I should say?
I mean, you really got to look at guys that are used to winning big events, I think, which the majority of these guys are. There's a handful here in the top 50 that, you know, obviously don't have a win this year, but these guys are playing for big, big, big money these last few weeks. And I do think the pressure can get to some of them that aren't used to playing for this huge amount of money. So I think that's something to keep in mind. And these are tough golf courses that they're playing, and the rough penalty is usually pretty high. So if you have guys that are, you know, spraying it, I mean, Wyndham Clark, for example, today only hit 8 fairways, but he gained 3 shots on approach. And I think a lot of that has to do with, like a steep angle of attack out of the rough and really being able to dig the ball out of those rough lies. You obviously don't want to be playing from the rough all the time, but on a lot of these golf courses towards the end of the season, it's sort of inevitable that you're going to be playing out of that rough. So really being able to control the spin and hit shots that land at the front of the green and run up is a big thing.
Scotty Scheffler with a 72 in the first round, came back with a 65 today, so much better. It gets him to 3 under for the tournament. And I believe, Doug, you noted that entering the second round, Scotty was 41-1. He is now 37-1 at DraftKings. Sam, where did you put the odds on Scotty here at Circa going into the weekend?
So we're at 35-1, mainly because we're a small loser to him. And some word did come out yesterday that I guess he said that he was sick and having a pretty hard time out there. So it'll be interesting to see how he turns out the rest of the weekend. He sure got it going today. So
yeah, I would not bet on Scotty. He's 9 strokes back. He's got so many really good players. He's got a pass here on the odds board. I think it's going to be next week for Scotty. Do you agree with that? And who would you look at going into the third round?
Yeah, I think if he gets a couple of days off to kind of rest and recover a little bit, the way that he's putting the ball, I imagine he's going to be pretty dangerous next week at Eastlake. No starting strokes this year again, though. So everybody will be starting on an equal playing field, which doesn't help him because 2 years ago he would have been starting at 10 under. But I like this format a lot better. Everybody kind of starting the same.
Yeah, I hated the starting strokes format in those tournaments.
It's too confusing.
I know.
I mean, golf's complicated enough.
Right. How about the adjusted odds board now going to the weekend? If you're not going to bet Scheffler, and I'm not, sounds like you're not. I don't think you are, Doug, right?
No. I mean, he does close strong, and you give him credit. He runs through the tape, even if he doesn't have the lead.
He's too far back. Too many players between him and the lead right now. Who would you play, Sam, going into the weekend?
I think the price is getting pretty fair on J.J. Spahn, especially if he continues to hit fairways. He hit 11 out of 14 today, and the iron plays great. He put the lab putter in time out there for about a month or so and brought it back out this week. And it seems to be working for him. He mentioned, you know, you put your kids in time out and they come back and they behave a little bit. So that seems to be what's going on with him and that putter that he won the U.S. Open with. I think he's a decent look. It's not the greatest course fit for him. You see a lot of bombers at the top of the board here, but I think if he keeps the ball in the fairway, he's a sneaky guy to look out for.
All right, now I'm not going to bet this player. He annoys me. Colin Morikawa, 68-65 in the first two rounds.
I wasn't sure who you were going to say, Matt. That was like five guys that you could have gone with there.
Well,
really, I really annoy you. Morikawa's one of them.
I know, but Sergio's not playing this week. Fat Pat's not playing this week.
That's one, and then the A-Bear always blows it on Sunday.
Colin Morikawa, 68-65. He's 7-under, five strokes back. He's at 30-1 at DraftKings. Do you think he's a player with a chance to make a run this weekend?
Yeah, I make him a little bit lower than the market. Yeah. Again, he's kind of in this similar realm as J.J. Spahn with this not being a great fit for him. But like we talked about a little bit ago, keeping the ball in the fairway. If those two guys are playing from the middle of the fairway, I think they'll be all right.
Sam, something I wrestle with a lot because I'm not a huge golf bettor or a huge golf fan, but what's sort of the best approach to betting a tournament entering? Is it top 10s with top 20s, outrights? What's something that you think is a wise sort of portfolio in terms of volume of plays?
I personally don't bet a ton of outrights. I lean more into the weird props like matchups, and my favorite prop is round scores. I think those are pretty exploitable. And I think you got to be careful at where you play the top fives and just top finish markets in general, with the dead heat and places not offering the no price. Those guest prices can be very, very short to what they should be. So here there is no dead heat on our top finishes, and we pay out ties in full, and we also offer a no price. So we're about as fair a price as you're going to get on those here at Circa.
Follow him at SCooney3, Circa Sports Golf Odds Maker, Sam Cooney. And I assume people can find you on a golf course this weekend, right?
I'm hoping so. I haven't been out here for a few weeks, so I'm getting a little bit overdue and getting the itch to play a little bit again. So we'll see what happens.
All right, Sammy, thanks for jumping on tonight, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good rest of the night.
All right, that is Circa Odds Maker for specializing in golf. Sam Cooney joining us here live on VSiN Prime Time. I'm Doug Kazarian alongside Matt Humans. We're keeping track of all these games going on. We just had a virtual buzzer beat in the WNBA, mind you. And then the Steelers are going to get shut out in the preseason. Haven't seen a lot of shutouts in the preseason, do we?
This might be the first one.
Right. Definitely this preseason. I don't know if we had any last.
I was trying to think if we've had a shutout yet so far. I think this would be the first one. I've got to double check, but I don't recall that we've had one. The Steelers, who were so good last week, their backup quarterbacks have been so bad tonight. Jets with a 10-0 lead. And again, Will Howard threw two picks when he was in. Drew Aller has not done much. And the Steelers, again, you know, we talked about that angle with Chuck Edel last night. Teams that look really good in week one of the preseason, you might want to fade them in week two. Teams that look really bad in week one, you might want to bet on them in week two. And the Jets looked really bad in week one. They look better tonight. Not that they're world beaters. By the way, in Denver, our game of the night, Packers and Broncos tied at 7. Jordan Love took the Packers down the field, put 7 on the board, and Bo Nix and the Broncos answered, Doug.
And the Yankees, the bullpen has done its job so far. Two outs in the top of the eighth, a tying run with Okamoto at the dish with a runner on second. Blue Jays trailing 3-1. It's a guy's got a big lot of pop in his bat, so that's something to consider. Obviously, Bednar waiting in the ninth if it gets there, but two outs here. Top eight, 3-1 count with Okamoto at the dish. We'll continue to monitor that. Red Sox also leading by two runs. And we have some pitchers' duels elsewhere in the bigs. We'll track everything, get you caught up as we wind things down here live on VSiN Primetime, live from Las Vegas.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are live in downtown Las Vegas at the Circa Resort and Casino. I am Doug Kazarian alongside Matt Humans. Couple games winding down. One in the NFL that's been all road team, the Jets in Pittsburgh, about to tack on an extra point with less than 2 minutes to go in the game. 16-0. Gangrene.
Speaking of the Jets, Keyshawn Johnson was in studio yesterday for the VSiN Pro Football Futures Draft, and there were some digs taken at the Jets during the draft, and one of the handicappers played the Jets under the win total of 5.5, and I can't disagree with that. If I were to play the Jets win total, and I have not bet it for the record, but if I were, I could only play it under. Aaron Glenn is the I rank him as the worst coach in the NFL. Geno Smith was horrendous last year for the Raiders, actually led the NFL with 17 interceptions. He was sacked 55 times. Now, look, the Raiders had a poor offensive line. A lot of things went wrong.
Well, I was going to say,
it's not all on Geno Smith.
It's not a lot of quarterback. Like, I don't like Geno, and I was very, you and I were eye to eye. We were disappointed when the Raiders signed him, but I don't think anybody could have thrived with that offensive line. It was a joke of a coaching staff. You have the coach's son running the offensive line. It was pathetic. So I think he'll be okay.
I'll tell you who needs to take more blame for the Raiders being bad last year is John Spytek, the GM.
Yeah.
He gets a free pass because he's a new GM and he's Tom Brady's guy. His draft was rotten last year.
I mean, Ashton
the Raiders
Gentry
had a rotten draft.
Pathetic. And then
the entire draft was
rotten. But also
rotten.
Hiring. You hired Pete Carroll and you allowed him to hire his son, and it was, exhibit A of nepotism.
So actually, Tom Brady made the call. He did not want Sam Darnold. He wanted Geno Smith.
Okay, then, well.
So that was Brady's call. A lot of people don't know that. Brady said no on Sam Darnold and yes on Geno Smith. So Brady gets a pass in the media with a lot of people who don't know this information. But, the Raiders are in camp here, and their roster needs to be improved. Brady's been off somewhere off the coast of Spain on a yacht.
Yes.
Is this guy serious about his role in the Raiders front office, or what's going on? Anyway,
he said it wasn't a big deal when he's, in coaches' meetings as an analyst, getting a inside,
His whole career, Doug, has been based on these interviews where he says, I outworked everybody, right? I worked harder than everybody
else. You had Belichick for the first half of your career. Now, the second half was all his skill and talent and everything, but come on. What are we
doing? Getting back to the Jets and Geno Smith, Aaron Glenn said Geno is going to lead us to the promised land this year, and the Jets went 3-14 last year. Five straight losses to finish the season in the basement of the AFC East. Is that going to change this year? Let's hear from Geno Smith.
Life's been good, but, just a lot of great experiences.
Yeah.
I've been around some great quarterbacks, Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, Russell Wilson, just in some outstanding quarterback rooms, around some great coaches, the Dave Canalises, the Brian Schottenheimers, and all the great coaches that I've, been able to learn from. And I've gained experience, throughout the league. And I think those are the things that kind of shape you as you go along in this league. And now, sounds crazy, but year 14, I feel like,
dude,
I'm still in my prime. I'm physically feeling well, mentally getting sharper, and I'm working extremely hard every day and just trying to be the best I can be every day for my teammates and for my coaches.
All right, Doug, let's circle some key dates here on the Jets' schedule. Week 1 at Tennessee. How about week 5, home against the Browns? Week 7, home against the Dolphins. Week 8, home against the Raiders. Week 12 at Miami. Week 15 at Arizona. And you said it's not as easy as it looks to bet the Jets under the win total. Make your case for the Jets going over 5.5.
Well, I mean, last year they had a quarterback who couldn't complete the forward pass.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they have Geno, and yes, he's the favorite to lead the league in interceptions, if I'm not mistaken, but there is more competency, I think, with the offense just because you have an actual quarterback. Now, is he prone to throwing picks? Sure, he's not going to be all pro or anything, but he's at least capable a hell of a lot more than Justin Fields. And Frank Reich, who was not a good head coach, but I think having him there will help things. And I think eventually he'll be the head coach, the interim coach midseason when Glenn gets fired, unless they notch some wins, which is, they have weapons there at receiver.
They do. They have. You and I were talking about this during the break. I feel like they've got more talent than the Browns.
Oh, way more talent.
Yeah.
The Browns are a dumpster fire. Now, the defense is capable. And the dog pound will have some games that'll be 13-10 finals where they may eke out a win here and there.
You mean like that home game against the Bengals last year?
Yeah. I mean, look, now they don't have Myles Garrett, but they have Verse. It's not like they completely lost Garrett.
Right.
And they do have some sort of just weird energy and maybe the weather in December and January. Like, I think the Browns will be a tough place to play for a few teams that aren't that good, right? I think teams will go in there and dominate, but other teams won't. And the Jets will have that sort of voodoo at times. I'm just not betting on it because I think there's better things to do than to bet on the Jets to do good things.
I agree. You're going to bet your hard-earned money on a bad team.
But I'm
like
not
that,
betting against them necessarily. Right. I may take them plus the points often, though.
Yeah,
I think they'll
be
better ATS.
We'll see. Handicapping's a fluid situation.
Justin Fields was really bad last year. Like, really,
are you saying
really bad.
Geno Smith's going to be a lot better?
Yeah. He could not complete a pass. He was like Chuck Knoblauch trying to throw the ball to first base. It was ridiculous. He couldn't do anything. That Denver game in London was truly ridiculous.
Well, that was kind of a turning point for the Broncos too. I thought you got to get this win.
Ridiculous for Denver.
I know. I bet the Broncos win total over. Broncos win the division. That was one of the ugliest games you've ever seen. I believe it was 13-9. Is that right? I think it was 13-9. And I said Broncos got to find a way to win this. You cannot lose this game to the Jets. And they found a way to win. It was ugly. By the way, Geno Smith tonight 7 for 7. 65 yards, took the Jets right down the field, touchdown pass, and it's 17-0 here. The final play of the game, Doug, Steelers have Drew Aller in the shotgun from the 27-yard line.
Not kicking?
This could impact the live total if he throws a TD pass, and that's not going to happen, is it?
Escapes, Eli Manning. Don't throw it out of bounds. Oh, God.
Threw it out of bounds with no time
remaining.
That
does not count as a point, throwing the ball through the uprights.
Rouge. 17-0, Jets. Finish off the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Ugly night for the Steelers.
A lot of people, as the TV switched, the Green Bay and Denver each had opening drive touchdowns. A lot of people fading the Broncos. Obviously, they won a lot of close games, regression. I counter that is, A, they added Waddle as a receiver. That's sort of under-the-radar acquisition. And also, Bo Nix is allowed to get better.
Well, Bo Nix had ankle surgery in May, and I believe, or in April, and again in May.
Just his evolution as a quarterback, and Sean Payton's a good play caller.
Very young quarterback.
I would not be betting against Denver. I think they're still going to be very good. With that defense, and I think he's got a ton of weapons.
It's funny, last year, I'd say last summer, I know I was on the show with Mitch and Paul on Follow the Money, and asking me for my best win totals. I said, the Broncos, over. Broncos win the division. And I get a groan on the other end from Paulie. Oh, Bo Nix. You know, and that happened on a lot of other shows, too. When you gave out the Broncos, nobody wanted to bet on Bo Nix, right? You look at the Broncos. Right. But my handicap started with they had arguably a top three offensive line and top three defensive line in the NFL. And that's a lot of handicappers just look at the skill positions. Or bettors will just look at the quarterback and receivers and skill positions. When you are that strong on the offensive and defensive lines, that should lead to a lot of wins.
And honestly, some of these play callers, not all of them, but some of them can scheme open routes for like you and I, right? I think Mike McDaniel's a wizard with a play caller. If you talk to any former player or receiver that was like early in his career, he was a wide receiver coach, the smartest coach I ever played for. Then there's guys like Sean Payton in Denver, Shanahan. Some of these guys just get open, right? And you spend your money on the O-line and defense. You can make a deep playoff run.
One thing that concerns me about the Broncos is they won so many low-scoring, ugly games last season, you know, with a thin margin for error that typically you have regression in that sort of situation, and they have a tougher schedule.
Which is why I said he can improve. If he gets better, right, he has to get better, and you can expand the playbook a little bit, lean on him a little more, and add Waddle. Like, that's the other thing. You're right. Obviously, and we see it with the Chiefs here, and, you know, these one-score games can go against you, and then the entire season can unravel.
David Bednar, over the last 2 months, I've said the best closer in baseball. Over the last 31 appearances, 5-0, 18 saves, and an ERA of 0.76. Bednar in to try to slam the door here for the Yankees up 3-1 in the ninth. What do we have in Boston?
That live line under 5.5 looking pretty good. It's 6-4, top nine. Chapman's out there. One out, runner on first, though. So the Giants down to their final two outs. They have the ninth hitter, I believe, up. One of these AAA guys they called up, Christian Kost, but he's 2-for-3. But he's now facing Chapman, I would imagine, for the first time in his career. He is the tying run at the dish. So some drama. So they had one big inning of a lot of runs, a lot of crooked numbers, and then there's been no run scoring since. Similar situation with the Yanks, another low-scoring game involving New York.
By the way, just an update out of Jacksonville tonight. Carolina Panthers pummeling the Jags 27-6. Fourth quarter just started.
Who cares? Who says the Jags don't? The Panthers don't care about the preseason, right? They've been I think 1-8.
I know
under Canales or something.
That's a trend.
ATS
has not meant anything this year.
Late games in baseball. Anything interest you? The Dodgers, have they found their offense? Real quick, have they found their offense after Coors, the slump buster that is Coors? They're back at home.
I think they're probably more confident coming back from Coors because they had a bunch of guys hitting in the lineup. We'll find out tonight if they can keep it up. David Bednar, I believe, is going to get that's a foul out of play. Dodger, you know, that's an interesting topic. Maybe we'll have you on VSIN Primetime to talk about who should be the MVP. Who's up next?
Yeah, because the Cubs are also playing. Don't go anywhere. Up next is the Sports Gambling Podcast with Sean Green and CJ Sullivan. For Matt Humans, I'm Doug Kazarian. Good luck the rest of the weekend.